Next presenter will be Ms. Marty Wolf.
Hi, I just want to say how odd I am to be in front of you. I am fairly new to the immunization world. I'm more comfortable with words like Herceptin, Cisplatin, ER positive or ER negative, and those kind of unfortunate words. And in fact, the first time I presented the results of this little competition that I did, I didn't know the difference between Tdap and Dtap, and I had it wrong. So I've been learning a lot as I go along. I have been with the Community Health Center Association for about 10 years now, but at the time that I came in, some of you may remember back to the TOTS initiative. We had a TOTS coordinator in my office, and even though I came in for quality improvement, she'd be yelling AFIX, I'd be yelling PDSA, and we really meant the same thing in terms of quality improvement and moving something along to the positive. So here I am, and this was a completely accidental benefit that I came along. There was actually somebody in the room who motivated me to do this project. And so we did an adolescent immunization competition. It was inspired by the Triangle Adolescent Immunization Coalition, which is an offshoot of a meeting that goes on by the state immunization branch. They have an immunization coalition that originally focused kind of on older vaccines and the younger kids. This one fits in the middle and is done by one of our reps. And I don't know if it's politically correct in this environment to say who, but so I'll not, but I may point a finger later. So it was an offshoot of that. And at one of those meetings, it was suggested that since April was prevention month, that perhaps we could focus on adolescent immunizations, because with the having had the TOTS initiative, we had had a lot of emphasis on the two-year-old immunizations and down. So I took that and I ran with it. We tried very hard to get our governor to proclaim it immunization month, adolescent immunization month last year. And that didn't happen, but oh gosh, it did this year. So unfortunately, my competition is going to be in May this year. So here's part of the reason for doing that. As you can see, these are off of the CDC site, and it's a little bit different than even the immunization data that Dr. Shukat gave this morning, if I've said her name correctly. And North Carolina is a little bit below in general on things, but you'll notice where we are really good is HPV, so don't ask what we're doing in North Carolina. So anyway, you can see there's some good room for improvement here to get caught up to the national just that far. And I stole this from, there's that company who started me off, Sanofi, on doing this. And they're, even though they make the meninge, this focused on three different vaccines for the adolescents. We focused on, and if I say it wrong, please don't throw something, Tdap, meninge, and the HPV. So those are what we focused on for our competition. As you can see, you know, even at best, we are abysmal in North Carolina at giving out the meninge. And having just put two kids through college, I know that. Neither one of my kids were ever even offered by their private provider a meninge. So, thank God they're still alive to tell the story. So, next step was to recruit. And we did this by an informational webinar. North Carolina is a long state. It's 10 hours from end to end, so we don't get people, even though Raleigh is in the middle where I'm from, it's hard to get people to come 4 hours for meetings. So we do a lot of webinars. And so we did the immunization schedule for them just to remind people, here's what adolescents should have. Again, our people are used to looking at immunizing babies. They don't think much about the adolescents. Our war cry in North Carolina is that we don't see our adolescents generally unless they've done something. And once again, I have family history with that of a son who broke his collarbone at least twice falling off of skateboards, and that's pretty much the only time he went into a doctor in his adolescence. So on that webinar, we talked about the schedule, what the kids should be coming in for, what were the rules for participation. It was pretty simple. If we can have your reports and you'll let us do a pre and a post, and let us have those, and you're willing to work to improve, that was pretty much all it took to participate. And we asked that, of course, they use the North Carolina Immunization Registry. And that was one of the things that we really found, is people are using our registry a lot, again, for those little kids, for the babies, but people were not thinking about it for once they got older than that, 2-3 years old. Nobody was using it much for the adolescents, and they're not using it at all for the adults. I have a clinical newsletter, so, you know, I annoyed people in every way I could possibly think of. I sent out a lot of emails, and I pushed and pushed and pushed. There's about 28 health centers in North Carolina that operate about 150 sites. So by the time I was done pushing and begging and crying, I did get 18 practices, and we are all primary care practices. They're all MD-driven. One of them in particular was a nurse practitioner, a pediatric nurse practitioner, and the sad thing about that is her focus on those peds kids meant that she had nowhere to go to improve her rates, so try as she might. So again, all of them are community health centers because that is my population. As you can see, we were all in these really big cities that you're all familiar with in North Carolina, Carrboro, Siler City, Burlington, Moncure. I'm sure you've all been to Ahoskie. It's probably going to hold the next conference there because it's such a big place. Yeah, no, there's not even a hotel in Ahoskie, guys. So these are it. As you can see, none of them are big names, and we did have representation across the state. And even though you would think, because all of those are kind of, you're like, where in the world is, a lot of these are very close to academic centers. You see this little cluster of stars kind of in the middle. In the Raleigh area where these other little clusters are, there's Duke, there's UNC Chapel Hill, NC State. I could go on for quite a while about the academic centers that are right around us. So some of these centers are well affiliated with academic centers and schools of medicine, including like some of the ones a little east have affiliations with Brody School of Medicine at ECU. So we sound kind of hick, but yeah, we are. Okay, I give up, we are. This is the sample of the lovely, lovely, lovely report that was run for me from the NCIR. This had to be done specially by the immunization branch for me. While it runs some reports, it couldn't run exactly what I wanted. So our adolescent immunization coordinator, Amanda Dayton, ran these reports out of the registry, put them into COCASA for me, and came up with this beautiful report. And this is what we used to get our data pre and post. And we did 12 through 17. You can see it tells us the years. And again, in spite of the extra data that's on here, we just looked at the Tdap, the meninge. See, I can't even read very well because it told me right on here, Tdap, and I still came up with Dtap, and the HPV 1, 2, and 3. So this is for one of those particular clinics. And she did 18 of these before for the 18 that participated. And then at the end of the month, she ran 18 more for me at the end so that we could aggregate some data. As you can see, we had a very big range in how many adolescent patients our clinics are serving, down to as low as 8 there at number 5. That's a really small clinic, to some of the larger ones that have in the 2,000 patients. So part of the real challenge of this was deciding what's equitable and who wins. You can't go straight percent, because if I only have 5 patients, one patient is a bigger percent jump than if I have 2,000 patients. And I can't say, well, 5 patients, because this guy doesn't even have a possibility of getting 5 patients because he only has 8 total patients. So there was a lot of discussion and arm wrestling over how you decided who was going to win this. And I'm going to make my disclaimer right now. I don't balance checkbooks. I can barely count 10 fingers when I hold them up. So please don't question my data. There's some of you in here are probably really good at statistics and that kind of stuff. I did this with an epidemiologist. He helped me do these numbers. I swear, if they're not right, I'm not going to tell you who that was either. So it's a disclaimer. You know, I'm sorry. I just can't do numbers. Here just is a kind of looking across it. I put all 18 in, and you can see how wide, again, between the clinics that the various efficacies of their immunization programs are. They're up and down. Some are very good at immunizing in a certain thing. Some are better at others. Some give a lot of HPVs, and they forget that there's Tdap out there, that kind of thing. So look at that. I mean, some of these had 0 in some of these. So we got our sites on. We did some baseline data. And then the next thing, the intervention part, is there's 2 different arms to this, really. There's what I did. I'm in the unenviable position of I can lead them to water, but I can't make them drink. It's one of those I have responsibility, but I have no authority. So in my role with the health centers, I'm supposed to provide them training and technical assistance and help them do quality improvement and help them with their systems of care. So all I can do is advise. I don't have any authority to tell them what to do. So to get this many people and to make quality improvement fun was a huge, huge thing for me. So we tried to tap into some of their existing knowledge about quality improvement. They'd done collaboratives from the health, the health disparities days in the late 90s, and they had some tots. They knew AFIC stuff from having had tots, and then we started filling them full of resources too. So every week I sent them some resources about information, a reminder that hey, it's Monday, we're off to another week of immunizing those adolescents. Provided them with as much patient education material as was reasonable. Unbranded is fine. But, you know, in many cases, I don't care if it's branded because I don't think anybody knows if you tell the patient that they're getting Menactra, the patient doesn't immediately go, let me see, that's what company again, because, you know, who knows. So we're not real sensitive about that as long as it's good material. We gave them access to automatic callback systems that the phone company would call and get their patients in. They used the registry for recall reminders as well. Some of them had some other systems. Not too many had EMR up yet, so there were none of those prompts. And again, the weekly emails, and I had a website full of resources, and just that reaching out once a week and touching them and saying, hey, let's go, let's do it. And they, you know, didn't hesitate. Again, the AFIX intervention, Amanda going in, when she did their rates, she would also go by and give them the results in a formal presentation and remind them of strategies. So we had that extra support from the immunization branch for that, too. Okay, here's the numbers. Again, just look at them and say, my, aren't they pretty? Because I don't know what they mean, except that they're good. So these are the relative improvement rates from where they started. And it shows that pretty much everybody who tried did make improvements. And you see some of them worked harder and did more. There's some people who show no improvement, and clearly those are people who had no change from when they started. So I don't know what happened, whether, you know, clinic was closed or the providers ran out of shots or who knows what. So there were a few that, in spite of it all, did not have any improvement rates. And I didn't put it in writing, but the overall effect, well, I did here, the overall effect from my epidemiologist friend was that overall, for all of those immunizations, we had a 26% improvement in the immunization rate of our adolescent population in just that 1 month. So, again, don't throw stones at me because I don't know nothing about no stinking numbers. But the lessons learned that we did get from that when we started harvesting back the data, recall works, and we found that letters to the parents, they would actually open those and read them. They get either a letter or some people used one of those little fold-over postcards, HIPAA compliant, and that people did do that. Their front desk also made some calls as well as the auto calls. And it was the best thing that we found worked is that you can't just come and do an assessment and go away and maybe not come back for another year, but people need to have a follow-up at some certain interval so that they can see that what they're doing is making an improvement. If you wait a whole year, that's a long time. People lose their motivation. They kind of lose the drift of what's going on. And we just had an immunization coalition meeting with the state a couple of days ago, and Amanda even said then that one of the best improvements that she saw was the fact that she went back to the community health centers and gave them some second data that they knew from where they started and then put some concentrated thought on it that they really could move this along and it really wasn't that hard to do. So, you know, the end was that we snuck in quality improvement. Folks had fun. They were incentivized by Sanofi, gave them the site that did the most improvement, got to go out to a lovely educational dinner. They got a nice lecture. They got a lovely dinner. They took, I think, everybody they could get their hands on, too. It was a huge event for them. And where we're going now, there is an initiative called Cervical Cancer Free North Carolina, and it's at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill as well. They're very interested in improving the HPV rates, even though we're pretty good at that in North Carolina. So we're looking at doing this again. It's going to be running next month. We have the informational webinar coming up in April. And you can see, just looking at this, we still have some blanks to fill in. They're looking at incentivizing achieving a certain level as well. So not just one guy getting a nice prize, but if you get a certain percent, which we're still arguing over in arm wrestling, that you'll get a certain prize, and we're arguing in arm wrestling over what that might be too, if you get 5% increase or whatever. So that's there as well. I would like to, of course, acknowledge my partners in crime for this, which are the people at the North Carolina Immunization Branch, who gave me a lot of support and ran those data, the data out of the registry and put it in a beautiful format. And my friend at Sanofi, who happens to be here. And there's a couple of really good links here for you, and also acknowledge my new friend, my friends at the Cervical Cancer Free North Carolina folks. So thank you very much for letting me present.